Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming out to my channel. This is about the rise of the Green Party in South Britain and Mid-Britain. Now, in the Republic of Ireland, the Green Party's had a presence in Dáil Éireann certainly since the 1990s. I have a feeling they were there in the 80s, and that Ivan Yates and Trevor Sargent, who are Green TDs, obviously been a few more since, both of them are Protestants, curiously enough, but it seemed to be like more East Coast thing, middle class thing, but it's spread beyond that to loony leftism and the Irish Republic. Never been a major party, but always been there. Anyway, enough about Southern Ireland, onto the United Kingdom, particularly South Britain, because remember, within the United Kingdom, there's no one single Green Party. There's a Green Party in Northern Ireland, which methinks is neutral on whether the Northern Ireland should remain part of the UK or be absorbed into the Republic. There's a Green Party in North Britain. There's a Green Party in England and Wales, that's one, okay? And the Green Party in Scotland favours separation from the United Kingdom. Okay, so it used to be called P-E-O-P-L-E, I think, as in people, but I don't know what it stood for, something or other. It was the Ecology Party in the 1980s, had some sort of a breakthrough in 1989, the European elections, 15% of the vote, but it was first past the post system, so they didn't get a single seat. Jonathan Porritt, old Etonian, used to lead it. I saw him once after he gave a speech at school, outside upper school. I was coming back from some other meeting. I couldn't attend the meeting. He was addressing two meetings in different societies on the same night. All right. So then, and I met their sometime leader, Chris Wooden, about a month before he died, campaigning for the 2004 European elections on Corn Market in Oxford. Oxford was a stronghold of the Green Party. Roughly 50 councillors in Oxford City Council. The Greens had like sort of five at the max, but it was a lot by their standards. They got those cycle lanes put in. They made it very anti-car, pedestrian-friendly. Okay, got to give them some credit. Park and ride. And then I met Dr. Caroline Lucas, that appalling bigot and oppressor, who was a member of the European Parliament. And Wooden was dying. He was standing just before he died. He knew he was dying of cancer, lung cancer, despite never smoking. So and had a car-free funeral. So I really had some admiration and fondness for him, a conviction politician. Someone of his drive and talents, had he gone into a mainstream party, could have got somewhere, but he didn't. But, you know, he was a man of principle. Anyway, that monster Caroline Lucas, she represented Brighton Pavilion. The party was very pro-gay, and that's the unofficial gay capital of the United Kingdom, which no doubt helped them. It was in favour of same-sex marriage before Labour. All right, so they built it up from getting local councillors to more and more. They're very in favour of transgenderism and stuff like that. So it's sort of the guilty conscience of the Labour Party. So the extreme left go to the Green Party, partly because they care about the environment. And then they've got this new leader, Zach Polanski. And why it's really worth talking about it is, in some opinion polls, they are ahead. They're the most popular party in the United Kingdom. So it's staggering. So they've had a youth quake, hundreds of thousands of people joining them, feeling disenfranchised that the major parties don't represent them, that the Conservative Party is only for older people, that Labour has really betrayed its values, that it's really about capitalism, it's just tinkering with the whole system. There's no fundamental realignment. It's not about redistributing wealth. So the Green Party will say, we'll spend everything on public services. But obviously, these are far-left fairy tales. They believe that there is a magic money tree, that you can raise taxes that won't damage the economy, that super-rich people won't leave, or that will be a good thing or somehow. We can all be on benefits, and we can get money for nothing and stuff like that. There's endless money that we can cut the armed forces to virtually nothing, and that will have no repercussions. So all this is just pie in the sky. So Zach Polanski is deranged himself, telling women they could increase the size of their breasts by hypnotism and stuff like that. Now, partly because they will fearless on Gaza, say genocide, we'll call it by its proper name. That's it. Stop the slaughter, save Gaza. So they were brave on that one. And they've attracted quite a lot of Muslims to their ranks who were not very prominent in the Green Party previously. So and they've been strong in Bristol, a very left-wing city, for some time. Got an MP there. Got an MP in East Anglia, places you wouldn't expect, of the rural places in the West Midlands, because the Green Party was weakest where it was literally green, the countryside. It was strongest in London, because was it 2019 they got something like 4% of the vote, but in London got 8% of the vote. Communism is capitalism without competition. Well, I don't quite agree, but we shan't get into that. The whole thing is the community. It's meant to be public ownership, but that doesn't work. If everybody owns it, nobody owns it, nobody's going to care for it. I mean, this has been tested to destruction. The odd thing is how communism comes full circle and becomes the whole country's owned by one family, like in North Korea or something like that. So this so-called egalitarianism doesn't work. Wanting to reduce the speed limit on the motorways is something like 45 miles an hour, which is just completely impractical. It takes so much longer to get everywhere. Wow, that'll have a deleterious effect on the economy. So they're all about the climate emergency. And to be fair to Zach Polanski, he doesn't fly at all, nor indeed does he drive. So they think that Labour is bad for its pusillanimity, and they're obviously principled in their opposition to the Conservatives. But the Green Party, despite being seen as a lunatic fringe for a long time, they made the weather. They put things on the agenda. Renewable energy, why are we even talking about it? Back in the 1990s, it was seen as just insane. It was never going to happen. Under 1% of the UK's energy was renewable. Now it's about 45%. And if you look at electricity only, it's much higher than that. That's partly because technology moved along. It's become more affordable. But the Greens kept talking about it, and they forced the others to accept this on their manifestos. Likewise, so they're going for net zero, stuff like that. So the Greens have also made it happen, despite, you know, never getting anywhere near governments. And they had a sort of confidence and supply supporting the Scottish National Party in Caledonia. So this is very worrying for the Labour Party. It was the Gorton and Denton by-elections an example of that, that because of disgruntlement of the Labour Party, people who previously voted Labour might vote for the Greens and say the Greens are the only one who can stop Reform United Kingdom from getting in. So and for people under the age of 24 who've got big debts, or say they're not enough jobs, the jobs are not well paid enough, there's a cost of living crisis, why should I work? I'll just be on benefits, claim for anxiety and depression, because it just doesn't pay to work. Even if you have whatever salary, mortgages are so hard to come by, property prices are just so high. But the Greens, I mean, you can't really have it both ways. Do you want to protect the countryside and you want to build over the green belt? But, you know, that is the joy of opposition. You can say both things. Suppose sometimes they're in government at a local level, and then you have to make some tough decisions to approve planning permission or not. So they're about saying tackling economic inequality, about improving public services, splurging money on them. They were very effectual in their exploitation of social media. So their messaging really hit home. But yeah, so first past the post has obviously not done well for them, but they could be on the verge of a breakthrough. Now, they're helped by Labour having a disastrous leader, and Labour tearing strips off each other. And the straitened economic circumstances is obviously far too early for most people to forgive the Conservatives. And by Reform United Kingdom, they anathematise Reform UK. The Green Party want to open the borders. They want to have tens of billions of people pouring into the United Kingdom, obviously stretching public services far past breaking point. But this is just how completely unrealistic they are. You know, is it naivete, or is it just sheer cynicism? They would propose such a daft and unworkable policy. But that is the Green Party. So why are they doing so well? Partly, as I say, use social media very well. So their rhetoric resonates with people. They talk about some real kitchen table politics, that the cost of living is too high, public service is not good enough, why do you have to have NHS waiting lists at all? Moreover, abolish student debt, just fund universities as much as possible. They bang the drum about Gaza, things like that. They are more or less pacifists, get rid of the armed forces and so on. Is the Green Party pro-Islam? I don't think so. It's not anti-Islam either. It's against cruelty to animals, but somehow doesn't have a problem with halal butchering. All right. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Don't need PayPal. George Callan 7 on gmail.com. Goodbye.